Hello, and welcome to You Will See, a podcast from a foster, adoptive, and biological mom. If you haven't had a chance yet to listen to the last episode, that episode would be helpful in understanding this episode. In the last episode, we talked about a few things that can help foster kids and ways that you can contribute. And before we get started, I was left some reviews on Apple Podcasts. Thank you to everyone who has sent a review or a rating in for me. I appreciate that a lot. This review is from Nadine Ballerine. It says, I really enjoyed this episode and its candor. As I am thinking about becoming a foster parent with my husband, a lot of the fears I have about choosing to become a foster parent were lessened as I listened to your experience and discovered that being a foster parent is different than I thought. Thank you, and thanks for all the humor as well. Thanks, Nadine Ballerine, for your review. If you are enjoying this podcast so far, please leave a review or a rating. Or the best thing that you can do is share this. I only have so many friends and family that have any contact with foster parents. I mean, they have contact with me, but I'm trying to get this to the right audience, and I need your help. Please share this podcast with friends and family so that we can get it out there. So imagine you're on a boat that has just been through a really bad storm. You're now floating in the calm of the eye of the storm. Your boat is damaged, you have no supplies, and you can see there will be rough seas ahead. You are relieved as you see a rescue helicopter headed your way. It drops a package down to you before flying off to help others. You open the box and find the trendiest shade of gray paint and the supplies that you will need to paint your boat. It also includes a sanding machine and a buffer with the advertisement that states that you will have the best looking boat on the sea. Now keep that in mind, and let's start with the storm itself. Foster kids often feel like they are in the calm of the storm. They fully expect the storm to start back up at any minute. They use various methods to prepare themselves for this storm. Because of this, they are in a constant state of survival. They have been taught from their previous storms in life that nothing is permanent, but their needs are constant. Some of these kids don't know when their next meal would be, so their minds teach them to beg for food and hoard extra food just in case. Hoarding can be a common side effect of trauma. They are looking for security. When you are preparing for a threatening storm, you focus on finding safety, sometimes at the expense of people you think will be fine on their own. If you were stranded in the middle of the sea, you wouldn't think twice about taking all the supplies drifting your way from a nearby shipwreck. You wouldn't be thinking about who it belonged to or whether or not it would be okay with them for you to use it. You would just be thinking about your own survival. We all recently experienced this survival state of mind as people stocked up on toilet paper without worrying about whether or not there would be enough for everyone. We saw lots of people trying to sell products for more than what they were worth. We saw all kinds of selfish behavior that's outside of the norms of society because people were concerned with survival. If you knew a storm was coming, you might even just take things from the store because survival was more important than morals in that moment. This is how foster kids often feel and think. They're in this constant state of survival. This appears to everyone else as being selfish. They also might lie or do whatever is necessary to find security. In episode 4, our anonymous source talked about how she manipulated others into getting stuff and how she felt they were suckers. She also mentioned a time when she wanted an audience while her foster dad was coming to find her after she had run away. She was yelling things, trying to make everyone think that he was a bad foster dad. She was good at this manipulation because, to her, it was necessary to her survival. She had witnessed her mother lie and cheat or manipulate to survive for years. There are many people out there who just want to help these kids. They see their tears or their complaints and they feel they need to give them something. Foster kids often recognize this willingness to give and find ways to manipulate the situation. I won't say who, but one time we were in the store with a foster teen, and he had recently spent all of his allowance and had no money left. He wanted a bag of chips. I had told him before we went to the store that we would not be buying anything that was not on the list. When we passed the chips on a store end cap, he immediately started to complain loudly. He stated many reasons why we should buy him the chips. He said things like, "You buy your kids treats all the time," which instantly drew looks from nearby customers. He would also wait until people were around to project his voice and make sure that people heard him. He would also say things like, "You won't get it because you think I'm fat," or, "My last foster home let me eat junk food." All of these statements were not about me. They were about him getting what he wanted. More inherently, to him, they were about survival. In that particular instance, an old woman ended up following us to the register, and she paid for the bag of chips and gave them to my foster son. I understand fully that the woman was trying to help. She was being charitable. Maybe she assumed I couldn't afford the chips. Maybe she saw me as the enemy, the way my foster son wanted. I'm not sure of her exact thought process, but I'm sure she was trying to help. The cashier was astonished at the generosity, and others smiled at her good deed. She smiled, feeling good, as she gave them to my foster son, and this almost kind of fake joy came across his face, like, thank you so much, as if she had, like, saved his life or something. What she didn't know is that he had just spent all of his allowance on chips, donuts, and plenty of other unhealthy snack foods that he still had available at home. He was not deprived in any way in that moment by not having those chips. She also didn't know that I had set a boundary before leaving the house. She undermined my choice as a parent in the name of charity. The problem is, these actions came from a place of pity, not from a place of true charity. Her motivation was more to feel good about herself and something that she did. And to pity someone is to believe that they cannot do something on their own. For a kid who is waiting in the middle of the ocean for the next storm to hit, pitying them will not bring them the security they really need. They need to know we think that they are capable. If we can teach them to be capable, they will be secure, knowing they can get through any challenge. They need to know they can face the next storm and they will come out on top because they are in control, not because they are relying on the next person to feel bad for them and give them the things that they don't really need. Please don't pity these kids. They are probably stronger than the majority of us who have never experienced the storm of survival. Give them credit for their resiliency. We can't calm the whole storm of life, and storms will come. Hopefully these storms will not be anything like the ones they have already experienced, but they will be challenged. Don't give them a bag of chips and expect them to be safe. Instead of handing them a can of paint, we need to give them the tools and ability to acquire the necessary supplies to survive. Another time, one of my foster sons was given around $1,000 worth of shoes. I called the parent to make sure that it was okay and that he hadn't talked some kid out of their shoes. It turned out to be a large chunk of that dad's collection of Nike shoes. He said he was happy to give them to him because of his situation in foster care. I think he was expecting praise for his good deed, and I was just kind of like, okay, and ended the conversation. What that guy didn't know is that that kid already owned a small fortune worth of name brand clothes and shoes. He had been given stuff all his life. This was another time when pity led to this kid being enabled. I have seen or heard so many kids in care who are constantly being given stuff. There are so many justifications for it. Like, I know they've had nothing, so I just wanted to give them something. The intention is to make them feel better, but no amount of stuff is going to fix the real problems they are facing. Trauma cannot be cured with money or free things. Giving them this kind of stuff that normal teens don't have, let alone most grown adults, tells them they do not have to work in life. It plays into their survival instincts and creates a cycle that looks and acts like entitlement. They think that the best method of survival is to play the I'm in foster care card. I have seen the results of this card being played at school as well. Teachers will knock off half the assignments for a failing foster kid in hopes that they will pass. Reducing the work tells them that you think they cannot do it. It tells them that because of their trauma, life will be easier for them always. This is simply not true. Another storm is coming called adulthood. Foster kids need to know that nothing is free. Someone somewhere has to pay for everything they are given. They also need to know that we think they can handle the next storm. Instead of taking off their assignments, maybe we could help find that kid a tutor or resources or discuss the concerns with the foster parents and come up with a plan. They might have valuable insight into this kid's life so that we can figure out what's really going on, get them moving in a way that will be so much more productive than simply saying, well, poor you, you don't need to do all this work. We'll just make it easy for you. Volunteering to tutor a foster kid would be a great solution because they still need to earn their grade without ever being told they are not good enough. Giving foster kids free name brand stuff or buying them things when they pout or only expecting them to do half the work is like bringing paint supplies to a shipwreck. It doesn't fix the damage. It might dress it up nice and make you feel better about its existence, but it doesn't provide any long-term value. These kids don't need stuff. They need confidence and tools to get through life. If you think you see a foster child in need, talk to the parents. See if there's a reason for their decisions before undermining them. These kids are smart, resilient, caring, tough, and capable people. Don't sell them short. Giving them things is a short-term solution that boosts your own self-esteem. It allows us to do something simple so we can pat ourselves on the back and say we contributed. I love that so many people in our lives want to help. The best way to help my family is to get to know us. Support our parenting decisions or talk to me about them privately. Support our kids by giving them confidence. I know our foster kids sometimes make us out to be the bad guys because they are trying to survive. So if there's ever a concern, talk to the foster parents. I would so much rather know the concern than be undermined. As a parent, it can sometimes be so hard to allow our kids to struggle. I know I fix a million problems a day for my kids, mostly the little kids, but I still find myself fixing problems constantly for our teenager too. Another thing our instincts tell us to do when we care about someone is to fix it for them. I've also recently discovered that if I'm too busy to help in that moment, my kids generally figure things out on their own. We need to stop rescuing kids who don't need it. I used to teach at this school called Challenger School. I was teaching preschool there, and part of their school song says, "Give me some time, I can do it. Soon I will find there's nothing to it." Part of believing these kids are capable is giving them adequate time within reasonable expectations. If you are a coach, teacher, mentor, leader, or interact in any way with foster kids, give them time. They can do it. Only jump in when they are truly struggling or they need a hint or if they're really stuck or feeling anxious. You can help them with their anxiety first and then still get them to figure out the solution to the problem on their own. They will have to learn to make decisions and solve problems on their own eventually. Giving them the skills to do this will take away the need for a rescue helicopter in the first place. Imagine if you were the one on the boat and you had been taught how to repair sails, had come prepared with adequate tools and protections, and you had safeguarded your supplies in a way that if your ship was ripped apart, you would still be able to get to it. Maybe you packed it inside the life preserver or something. I don't know anything really about surviving in a shipwreck, but I'm sure there's ways that you can come prepared. And if we were to teach our kids how to come prepared rather than doing it for them, I mean, imagine if you are on that boat and you have everything you need, even though you just went through this big storm. Wouldn't you feel so much more comfortable and safe? Don't leave these kids to stress out in their survival mode because you feel bad for them. We need to teach these kids how to survive on their own. And I don't mean that you can't ever give foster kids anything. Some of these kids, especially the ones that live in group homes, might not have real Christmases. They don't have parents to give them stuff for Christmas, and they do the trees where you can, I don't remember what this charity is called, but every year we find a tree and it has like little papers on it where you know the age and the general idea of something that that kid would want. You can participate in that. I'm not saying never get these kids anything at all. I'm just saying that giving them stuff is not going to have half as much of an impact as teaching them concepts. They need to know how to survive in adulthood. This one time, my foster son, he was continually getting in trouble in school and he was risking expulsion. And the principal at the school had told him that if he made one more severe mistake, that he would be expelled. Well, he went and he made an extreme mistake and they didn't expel him. And I know this sounds so weird because I think any parent in the world would go in and stick up for their kid and say, "Don't expel my kid, please don't expel him." But at that point, he had made so many choices and he had learned to manipulate enough people to where he felt he could get out of anything. And he was not going to change until something else in his life had changed. And what needed to change is that he needed real consequences in his life. And instead of enforcing these real consequences, they kept making these threats and then going back and saying, "Well, since you're in foster care, we won't actually expel you because we know that your life is hard." Well, the problem with that is some of those things that he was doing were illegal. And someday When you make an illegal mistake, an arresting officer isn't going to say, well, you grew up in foster care, so it's okay. I'll just go ahead and set you free. That's not going to happen. They need real consequences now. That's kind of the whole point of youth. They need to experience, they need to experiment, they need to test in ways so that they can fully understand the consequences of their actions. And I'm not saying that every kid should do things until they get expelled. Of course not. Most kids, I feel, can think those things through in advance. But trauma does mess with your brain and tells you to be selfish. And because of that, they sometimes test boundaries a little bit more than other kids might. But the test needs to come with real results, not skewed results because of pity. They're testing to see what's going to happen in life. And you're giving them false results by saying, no, it's okay because we feel bad for you. Some of these kids need harsh consequences for things that they do before they're ever going to really understand why they need to change it. On top of that, if you tell a foster kid that something is going to happen, in general, you need to do the best that you can to actually make that happen. At the same time, I know that life can change. Like sometimes I'll say, this weekend we're going to go to the park, and then the kids get sick, so we can't go to the park. Sometimes foster kids can have a really hard time with this anytime something changes. And there's a difference between enforcing consequences in the way that you say you're going to and life happening. I think they can learn to understand that things change in life, but they shouldn't learn to understand that they can talk their way out of consequences. I think this can also go the opposite way, where we can have unrealistic expectations for them, and we need to understand that while you grew up learning social skills and learning what was necessary to be accepted, like you were learning what jokes were funny, and you were learning how to behave well in class. They were learning how to find food, and they were learning how to protect their siblings, and they were learning how to cope with deep, intense feelings of loss. And because of that, they're going to be a little bit more behind socially, behaviorally. So it's possible that we can go on the other extreme of expecting so much from them that we forget that they might need a little bit more to learn. But I'm not saying just give it to them either. Don't just say, well, it's okay for you to scream at me because you were in foster care. Say, this is why you probably should use a different tone when you talk to me. Or this is the consequence if you talk to your friends like that. That's okay to explain and teach. It's not okay to enable or go to the other extreme of, well, you just talk negatively to me, so you're grounded for 10 years. Like, there needs to be a happy medium in between the two things. I think overall, if our goal is to prepare them for adulthood, and if everybody in the community understands the difference between pitying and preparing them, we could be the village that these kids require to help them be successful in adulthood. If you're ever offering to help a foster child because you want to feel good about yourself, you're probably doing it wrong. Now, feeling good about yourself probably is a natural consequence of doing good things. But if your goal is to give them something, like make it the easiest possible way to help them, like I'll just give you something really quick and then I'll be done and never talk to you again, that's not real charity. And that's way more about you than it is about them. Make this about them. Make this about their success. Okay, this episode's a little bit shorter this time, and I wanted to give you a heads up that my husband is about to go on another training, so I might not have another episode out for a little while. I'm also starting school. I'm just doing one class, so hopefully it should be fairly easy, but if for some reason life gets busier or more hectic in the next little while, I might not get an episode out. In the meantime, you can help me out by sharing this podcast with others. I need your help. I can only get this out to so many people, so if you know someone who's interested in foster care or anybody that might be associated with this in any way, or even just someone who is looking for a way to help children. That's a big thing that's going on right now. Everybody wants to save the children. Getting involved is a great way to do that. If you know anybody who might be interested in that, please share this podcast so that they can be informed and help in the best way possible. That's my goal. I want to help change the perceptions that people have of foster care. Thank you for tuning in this week, and hopefully I'll get another episode out in the near future. Thanks for your support. Tune in next time to You Will See.